Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast with Pastor Paul White. This five-minute podcast is designed to reveal to you the loveliness of our Lord Jesus.
I am happy to be reading for you our book, Revelation to Transformation. We've had several requests for this audio version for a while, and so I thought the podcast was a good place to do it. We are at the bottom of page 71, which is in the middle of our seventh chapter called Grace, Revolution, or Rebellion. And I start with a question, a statement by the reader. Pastor, you've hit on the problem. We have more churches, but not enough preaching on sin. The church should be more sin conscious if we're going to see people start living right. Well, frankly, I disagree. And apparently so did the author of the book of Hebrews, because Hebrews chapter 10 verses 1 and 2 says this: for the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For them would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. Do you see what the author is insinuating? If the sacrifices of the old covenant had actually changed people, they wouldn't feel the need to keep coming back to offer more sacrifices. If these sacrifices had actually cleansed them of their sins, they wouldn't remain sin conscious. Hebrews 10:3, but in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Every time someone under the old covenant offered a lamb for his sins, he was reminded of his sin. The author deems sin consciousness as a bad thing, for it calls to mind the sins that we have committed. The fact that there was sin consciousness meant that the sacrifice had not worked. Thus the author writes the next verse, Hebrews 10:4, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Since no animal could remove the sin on the heart of the offender, they lived under the constant strain of guilt and condemnation. The sin consciousness was due to the fact that he had not been sanctified by the sacrifice, for the sacrifice itself was an imperfect animal. Then came Jesus, perfect in every way. He was the total fulfillment of the law, Matthew 5:17. When he died, his sacrifice was for sins forever, Hebrews 10:12. And this offering has perfected forever them that are sanctified, Hebrews 10:14, King James Version. All of my sins are beneath his sacrificial blood, and I am perfect in the eyes of the Father. Acknowledgement of this keeps me from living under guilt and condemnation and helps me fulfill my call to liberty in Jesus. Can you see how making people conscious of their sins actually takes the focus off of the sacrifice? When people under the old covenant felt sin consciousness, it was because their sacrifices couldn't take away their sins. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice to take away our sins, so why would we remain conscious of them as if the cross never happened? Sin consciousness does not prove that you are a wise and sensitive believer. It simply proves that you still feel like the sacrifice is insufficient. Paul's warning of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils being preached in the last days included people who have their conscience seared with a hot iron, 1 Timothy 4:2. The phrase seared with a hot iron is from the Greek word kasterizo, from which we derive the English word cauterize. Its definition is who carry about with them the perpetual consciousness of sin. His warning is that last day ministries will cause people to carry a constant consciousness of their sin. And he calls this a doctrine of the devil. In some circles, we've been led to believe that the more ceremony is involved in our Christianity, the better we are. In fact, some go so far as to measure the quality of their Christianity by their involvement in religious activities. Just after warning the Galatian church to stand fast in their liberty, Paul warns them of leaning to their ceremony for their self-worth. Galatians 5:2. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And we can be certain that Paul does not mean that if you are a circumcised male, there's nothing that Christ can do for you. Instead, Paul is referencing the Jewish rite of circumcision, by which the Jews considered themselves superior to the heathen world, as their circumcision was the sign of the covenant. Paul is pointing them away from the ceremony of religion to a higher covenant, Galatians 5:3. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. We'll stop there, middle of page 73 from our book, Revelation to Transformation, How Seeing Jesus Will Change Your Life. Will continue tomorrow in that seventh chapter, Grace, Revolution, or Rebellion.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Podcast. For more information on our ministry, visit www.paulwhiteministries.org.